A reading from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a great and wonderful promise. Sight is restored, light shining in the darkness. The one to whom John pointed, which darkness cannot overcome, Jesus is the true light. The world was made through him, without whom nothing was made. This one is for you and for all those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death, for all those sitting in darkness, to quicken, to enliven, and to make new. And yet for the one who squeezes their eyes shut, that one sees no more than what the blind see in their blindness. Thus Matthew ends this section of his gospel with a summary of our Lord's teaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. It's as if to say one could say that only the sick need a physician. Now, this isn't to say that they see nothing. Those who squeeze their eyes shut see all sorts of things, don't they? Just nothing that's real. They see dreams and visions, figments of their own imaginations. They think that they see light, but their light is a God who is made in their own image, one who is angry with the people that they are angry with, one who is capricious, one who is petty and unable to provide any real comfort to a conscience burdened by sin. This was why the people of Nazareth rejected Jesus. It's why the Pharisees sought to silence and ultimately to kill him. They were blind, but they didn't know it, for their eyes were shut. The God of their imagination was nothing like the Jesus who was standing before them, but a bread king and a warrior who would overthrow the Roman occupation and establish an earthly kingdom. They imagined only their own self-righteousness. There are times, of course, when we squeeze our eyes shut and we hide behind the facade of having it all together, when we imagine all kinds of things that suit ourselves rather nicely. There are times when we put our trust in princes and in our own understanding. There are times when we would cling to our pet sins and we would, rather than to the sure and certain promises of Christ, there are times when we would have the Lord smite those who have wronged us in some way. There are times when we would have the Lord simply fill our bank accounts and our stomachs and then leave us alone, leave us to our own devices and our desires. It sure would be easier, wouldn't it? Life would be easier. It wouldn't require any kind of sacrifice, and we certainly would have fewer enemies in this world, wouldn't we? Well, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. May our road not be the broad and easy path. You see, our Lord has not promised an easy life full of promotions and friends. Praise the Lord, of course, for those times when hard work does pay off, and also praise the Lord for the company of good and godly friends. And yet do not let those things become the goal of your life. The goal remains the same. The upward call of God and Christ, who has not promised a life free from suffering and persecution. Rather, he has promised that your life would be a cruciform life, shaped by sacrifices, shaped by service to the neighbor. For that is one that reflects the life that he lived for you. And in this way, your light shines before others. Thus, our Lord calls you. He calls you by his word out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is, he calls you out of sin and into fellowship with him and with all believers in Christ. This word, this light, this Jesus shines into the cracks and crevices of your heart. It pierces your soul, scattering pride, scattering conceit. I am the light of the world, he says. No longer do you walk in darkness or walk in the shadow, for he is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Now, this doesn't mean that there won't be or will never ever be clouds of any kind for those upon whom the light has dawned. But it does mean that you are remembered, that your sorrow will have an end. It means that he sees you with all of your frailties and all of your quirks, and yet he still loves you. You who are baptized into his name, into his death and his resurrection, you who are clothed in his own righteousness, light and life are yours. Darkness will not overcome it. Joy, oh joy, beyond all gladness, Christ has done away with sadness, hence all sorrow and all repining, for the Son of grace is shining. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.